newspress.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Deckers, makers of Uggs and Tevas, Pierre Lafon Wendy Foster offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines, Montecito Bank and Trust proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years, Habitat for Humanity building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter, and CSU Channel Islands. No matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. Good afternoon, everyone. We're here today with Julie Mickleberry, the Vice President of Community Engagement at Planned Parenthood of California. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here, too. And I think the best place to begin is tell us what community engagement means.
Well, it's a kind of a catch-all title that covers public affairs work. So my responsibility with Planned Parenthood is to oversee our advocacy campaigns, our public policy initiatives, our education programs, communications, and media. So it's all wrapped in under community engagement.
That's surprising because I heard some of our politicians say the only thing you do is abortions. That's not true. Do you do other things?
Actually, we do a whole lot more. So Planned Parenthood has been around for 100 years. We're celebrating our anniversary this year.
And you look great, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
You have 100 years.
I'm hanging in there.
So what basically really is the fundamental mission of Planned Parenthood?
It's really about giving people the ability to decide if and when to become parents. And we do that by providing high-quality healthcare services, which are a broad range of services, education, and then we advocate to protect access to reproductive healthcare services and rights. And so at Planned Parenthood, typically you will see young men and young women coming in for basic reproductive healthcare services. For women, it's cancer screenings and birth control methods, sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment, basic everyday care that everyone needs.
And it's significant impact. How many people does Planned Parenthood serve worldwide?
Worldwide. Well, I can tell you nationwide. Nationwide, it's 2.5 million people.
Wow.
Yes.
So this is obviously an important part of the healthcare system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Planned Parenthood is a safety net. I mean, we're a provider who really sees people, regardless of their ability to pay, regardless of their life experience, our doors are open to everyone. And we want to make sure people have access to quality care.
But for non-abortion services, you do take Medicaid, don't you?
We certainly do.
So any cutback in Medicaid, just forgetting about, we'll get into what are the issues about the pushback against Planned Parenthood, but if there's any cutback in Medicaid, it would have some derogatory or bad. Give me a word.
Sure. It would have a devastating impact, right. I think, on our communities that we serve. It's over 70% of the patients that we see at our local affiliate, which is comprised of five different health centers along the Central Coast. But these women and men are coming in for care through the Medi-Cal program. And so if Medicaid dollars are not there or for some reason Planned Parenthood would be cut off from funding, those patients that rely on care through Medi-Cal wouldn't be able to come to Planned Parenthood for services.
And this second time you mentioned men, what services do you provide for men?
We actually provide sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment. We also provide PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's an HIV prevention regimen, mm-hmm. and PEP, which is the post-exposure mm-hmm. prophylaxis that helps prevent HIV if you think you've been exposed. We see, you know, men who come in and want to talk about family planning options and who will need condoms.
So how do the men, not to plead total ignorance, but I didn't know that. And I am someone that I am surprised I didn't know that. So how do men find out about the services?
I think the same way that women do. Right now we do a lot of online digital marketing. We are sharing information via Facebook and Pandora and Instagram. We have multiple websites that highlight all of our services, and we're trying to sort of meet people where they are so they know about us and know that we're there for them no matter what and ready to provide care when they need it.
So of the 2.5 million people you serve each year in the United States, what percentage of that is abortion services?
Less than 10%. It really depends on affiliate, but it's 90% of our services are all the services that I've already sort of laid out. You know, the cancer screenings, the Pap test, the STI, which is sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment. Those full range of services comprise the majority of the services we provide to our communities.
And what are the options? Assuming that Planned Parenthood didn't provide all these services, where would people go?
That's really a good question, because I think in some communities, Planned Parenthood is the only provider of reproductive health care services. So if you shut down a Planned Parenthood, people will have to travel, you know, hundreds of miles, hours to be able to get access to care that they that everyone actually deserves the right to have. So I think it's about 20% of counties in our country, Planned Parenthood is the only provider of reproductive health care services. So when we're talking about the potential of, you know, preventing people from receiving their care there, there are not a lot of other options.
The attack against Planned Parenthood is essentially a very regressive attack, because it really hurts poor people. Anyone with resources could find alternatives. But if you're an 18-year-old woman with no money living in a community that only is served by Planned Parenthood, what do you do? I mean, this is really an attack on poor people and people without much economic support.
Well, I think that's absolutely why so many medical professional associations have come up and really pledged their support for ensuring that Planned Parenthood is in the community able to provide care, because they understand that the safety net right now without Planned Parenthood cannot actually provide the services that people need.
So Planned Parenthood began in 1916. Let's see now. That's about 100 years from ago. You should have a – you know what? I have a great idea. You should have a party to celebrate.
I think we're going to do that.
Are you really? What is that?
Great suggestion. We are celebrating our sextennial, our Birds and Bees Bash, on April 29th. And we have a huge outpouring of support for our services. And that's really being demonstrated by the 600 or so folks that will be celebrating with us on that night.
And back in 1916, what was the original founder's goal? What was the thrust of Planned Parenthood back then?
So, you know, Margaret Sanger was a visionary of her time. She wanted women to have control over their fertility, and she wanted to be able to give them the resources and education to be able to prevent an unintended pregnancy. And, you know, this came through her own lived experience. She grew up in a household where she was responsible for taking care of a lot of her siblings. Her mother had 18 pregnancies in 22 years, and she passed away at 49 years old. So she saw what happened to her mother, and she wanted to do something about it. She wanted women to be able to have control over their lives. And so in 1916, she opened the first birth control clinic. And she was arrested. And it's really interesting, because when she was arrested, she then basically provided education to all of the inmates in the jail. Like, she could not stop. Even when she was, you know, arrested, she was still advocating for information and the ability to control, you know, women's lives. And the fact is that women were they were desperately in need of this information, and they would line around the block with their babies and with their sisters and with their friends just to be able to get this information about family planning.
Right. And this came about the same time that the suffrage movement was taking hold too.
Yes, very shortly before that.
Yeah, so there seemed to be some enlightenment taking place 100 years ago, although I question whether it's total today. There are some some serious issues that we still have to face today.
We certainly have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
The Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
For more than 20 years now, the unique landscape and people of the Santa Barbara community have helped grow Deckers brands into the lifestyle footwear leaders they are today. Newly opened at their headquarters in Goleta, the Deckers brand showcase allows you to explore and shop the UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands while you're likely to discover something new or potentially receive an in-store special offer. At 250 Coramore Drive in Goleta, the showcase is open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 Monday through Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. We're here with Julie Mickleberry, Vice President of Community Engagement at Planned Parenthood of California. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you from California originally?
I am. I'm from Bakersfield, California.
And that's a tough call. Bakersfield and Santa Barbara? So you don't miss it, Bakersfield?
No, I visit it often. I still have a lot of family that lives there, but I'm very happy in Santa Barbara, California.
And you were educated in Bakersfield? Or?
No, actually, I went to UC Santa Barbara. So
surprise,
I'm a
surprise, surprise, surprise. Yeah. And you're one of the lucky few that were able to stay here.
Well, I that was kind of strategic. I was a women's studies major, and I, when I was looking for opportunities to really utilize my degree and my my background, I looked to Planned Parenthood and started volunteering, and just got really passionate about these issues, and really felt like I was doing good work every single day I went to work, and I was hired on right out of college. And have been working for Planned Parenthood ever since.
Always in Santa Barbara?
No, not always in Santa Barbara. I worked here for about 4 years, and then in 2005, I moved to Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
That's a typical path. People going from Bakersfield, Santa Barbara to Baton Rouge.
It was my spouse was relocated. He actually got a job at LSU teaching English. So I went back and looked around.
How'd that work out? Do they teach? They do teach English there.
Oh yes, they do.
Good.
Yes, they do. LSU is their flagship, and in fact, my husband is actually from Louisiana, and so it was kind of an interesting move for the family to be close by his family and to have a son there and to grow up. It was an interesting experience, but a difficult one because I did work for Planned Parenthood while I was there. And
it was difficult because?
The environment, the political environment is so different. In California, when I was working for Planned Parenthood, you know, we were on the cutting edge of promoting progressive legislations that really opened up access to reproductive health care. California's a leader, you know, in reproductive health care policies. And Louisiana is at the bottom of the list. And so the types of campaigns that I was running and the public policy issues that we were fighting were really draconian and kind of taking women back into the 1950s. So I give this example, you know, one of the first bills that I worked on in California was a bill to codify Roe v. Wade, which is the Supreme Court decision that allowed, you know, women the ability to access safe and legal abortion. Well, in Louisiana, the first bill that I worked on was a bill that would essentially be a trigger ban. If Roe v. Wade were overturned, abortion would be banned in the state of Louisiana. So it was night and day, the experience, and a really challenging environment to organize in and to get people to step up and speak out about being supportive of women's rights, you know, access to reproductive health care services, even access to birth control. I mean, you didn't really talk about that either. So it was just a different experience.
And the people you served there, did they have to sneak in through the back door, or was it – I mean, how badly was the resistance then?
You know, there are two health centers in Louisiana, two Planned Parenthood health centers, one in Baton Rouge and one in New Orleans. And we actually saw a lot of patients through the Medicaid program. And the state actually supported access to family planning, not for sort of the same reasons why, you know, California did in terms of giving women – empowerment to be able to plan their pregnancies, to prevent unintended pregnancies, to realize their career. But they were really – they based these political decisions around the ability for women to space their children, right? And so when you're able to plan your pregnancy and when you're able to prevent – you know, to space your children 2-3 years apart, you have better birth outcomes. So when we talked about family planning in Louisiana, we talked about it being beneficial for the health and well-being of the baby, not necessarily the health and well-being of the woman. So it was really kind of interesting how you would have to sort of frame these issues with politicians who would not publicly state that they were supportive of Planned Parenthood or supportive of women's access to birth control.
So when you spoke to these politicians, were they more agreeable in private?
More agreeable in private, yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was very political. Yeah.
Yeah, which is one of the problems with politics that, you know, people are willing to throw, you know, innocent, young, poor people under the bus to make a political point, even though deep down they probably believe it's wrong. And speaking of that subject, what's going on? The attacks are coming left and right, and they're really lobbing, you know, the mother of all bombs to cut off funding not only for abortion, but they're thinking about you know cutting off Medicaid as well. How are you dealing with all of this?
Well, you know, we have a huge awareness campaign going on. We've had a ton of supporters that come out and really talked about the impact of Planned Parenthood on their lives. And personal storytelling is really kind of helping. And in fact, I like to look back at this last week when there was a young teen, she was 16 years old, Deja Fox, who got up in front of Senator Flake in front of his town hall and questioned him about why he is trying to defund Planned Parenthood, and he really wouldn't give her a straight-up answer and said, well, you know, I'm all about pursuing the American dream. I don't know how he transitioned into that. But she said, well, you know what? I'm about pursuing the American dream, and how I'm going to do that is because I'm going to have access to reproductive health care services and access to birth control so that I can plan my life and be able to pursue my career and my dreams. And she was so vocal and so strong and really sort of just demonstrated this is what's at stake, right? And so we have been, like you said, we have all these attacks lobbed at us. We all have an outpouring of support that has really pushed back against Congress. And they're calling them out at town halls. They are online signing petitions. They're donating to Planned Parenthood. We've had at our local affiliate 3,000 new donors come in since the election, and we're fighting back every step of the way. And we had a very small victory when the no vote happened, right? So they had the repeal and replace bill that came up with language attached to it that essentially set forth that, you know, if this passes, folks that receive Medicaid will not be able to visit Planned Parenthood for their services. There was so much pressure for a variety of different reasons that didn't go up for a vote. And so they've delayed it. They haven't taken action on any of the defunding issues. And now we see that there is pressure on Nevada Senator Heller, who has now publicly stated that he supports funding for Planned Parenthood. He's a Republican senator. So we're putting pressure on, right? If this comes up for a vote in the Senate, we're feeling like we're gaining the momentum to really stop it. So we've got a lot going on.
Is there a plan B in the sense that, like, what's the annual budget of Planned Parenthood? Is it so big that you couldn't fund it privately? Or
well, our budget is $16 million.
60?
16.
16.
At our affiliate level. Yeah. And about $10 million of that comes through reimbursements from the Medicaid program. So it would be a huge impact to, you know, our ability to provide services to the folks that really need it in our communities. So the plan B is really to make sure that legislators in California understand the importance of these services, that they understand that for every dollar that you put into family planning, you receive a return when it comes to savings on social programs, labor and delivery. It's really just makes common sense to support family planning.
Okay, so what happens if, in the worst case scenario, that it happens, and male or female goes to their Planned Parenthood because they think they have an STD, and they're turned away because there's no funding. Mm-hmm. Where do they go?
That's a really good question.
And, you know, this is my example of, you know, what was wrong with the appeal of the Affordable Care Act. You work, let's take a step away from Planned Parenthood. You work in a food luncheonette, and you're sick and you can't get care, and you sneeze into the rich guy's salad, who then gets sick. If somebody has an STD and doesn't get cared for, eventually they're going to get so sick they're going to go to a hospital and not be able to reimburse the hospital. So isn't the whole thing just plain stupid? I mean, forget about your philosophy of abortion. The whole thing is crazy. Unless you're willing to have people die in the streets, if you're the only provider of medical services that are of serious consequences to the whole system if it doesn't get cured, you're basically shooting yourself in the foot.
I have your
commitment to support Planned Parenthood.
I stand with Planned Parenthood, yes.
Very good.
I do.
Okay. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Available only at the company's headquarters in Goleta, the new Deckers brand showcase features the latest footwear from UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ah New brands. You're invited to stop by to experience firsthand what makes Deckers brand so unique. Discover new product and try on a range of offerings from your favorite Deckers brand at their retail stores. Now open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and from 11 to 5 on Sunday at 250 Coromar Drive in Goleta.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. We're here with Julie Mickleberry, Vice President of Community Engagement at Planned Parenthood of California. And we're talking before the break about the unfairness, if you will, and the economic cost of not permitting someone to get basic health care when Planned Parenthood may be the only provider. Has anyone quantified that cost? What would it be like if you weren't able to get your routine wellness service or your STD tests at Planned Parenthood? What would actually happen? Would there be another place to go that the government would have to pay for anyway?
Well, they say that one of the ideas was to funnel the money that Planned Parenthood is reimbursed into FQHCs. But the fact of the matter
is, what does that mean?
Federally qualified health centers.
Okay.
But there was an analysis of like what actually providers that are available. And there aren't a lot of providers who actually do reproductive health care services, especially in rural areas. And so if you close Planned Parenthood's doors, either another provider who is dedicated to this stuff will have to pop up, right? Or women will just have to go someplace else, to another state, to another county, to be able to access care. When it comes to sort of quantifying, you know, what it would mean to not have access to reproductive health care at Planned Parenthood, we know that the investment in family planning, right, for every dollar that you put into family planning, you get a $4 return on it. Yeah. You're saving $4.
Okay. But let's not forget about family planning. I'm talking about just basic female women's health care. If you can't, Planned Parenthood in many communities is the only provider mm-hmm. of quality health care for women. If Planned Parenthood can't do that, what happens to the women, and who, and it, does something happen that costs the taxpayer money anyway? I mean, what actually is the reality?
Well, I think you have fewer women who are coming in for cervical cancer screenings who will not actually get an early diagnosis to have good health care options or outcomes. So you're seeing some really devastating healthcare situations for a lot of women who are not going to get early screenings.
Okay, so in an X state, somebody calls you as a friend and says, "I'm not wealthy. My Planned Parenthood is closed. I think I have an STD. What should I do now?" What would you tell them to do? If in the event that, you know, Medicaid was off the table for Planned Parenthood, is there anything you can tell them to do that they could get free healthcare for that issue?
I think it depends on where they live.
In a bad place.
In a bad place.
Yeah.
Well, I would you know, Planned Parenthood has a really good job of knowing who else is in the community. I mean, we're still going to be open, but we would refer an individual to a healthcare provider that would be able to address their needs. We do that now for services that we don't provide.
But the point is there, I'm trying to put together a story that would say, if you don't give these people the services that Planned Parenthood provides through Planned Parenthood, and there's no other provider, what do you do as a society? What actually happens? What's the real world implication? They just don't go to the doctor?
They wind up in the emergency room.
Okay. So there really is a dollar cost to this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Forget about the human toll. It's really a dollar cost to this.
Yes.
And what's the mechanism of this? Could they, to be a Medicaid dollar recipient, you have to be approved. So it's not like Medicaid is portable, like Medicare is. If I'm a Medicaid recipient, I can't choose to use my Medicaid rights at a Planned Parenthood if they say I can't use it? I mean, is that one of the issues going on here?
That's what they're trying to do.
Okay, so in order to use Medicaid, it has to be an approved provider.
Under current law, especially when it comes to reproductive health care access, it's considered a sensitive service. And anyone who is on receiving Medicaid, is publicly insured by Medicaid, can go to their provider of choice for reproductive health care services. What the Congress is proposing to do is essentially prevent that individual from accessing their care at Planned Parenthood. And they're doing it because they feel like, honestly, it will close our doors.
Okay, but are they saying, I'm just trying to understand because it's never been made clear to me. When they do this, if they do this, can I go and get your body image education? Can I go and get a routine wellness exam? Am I going to be prohibited from doing that and getting you Medicaid reimbursed?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's not just about reproductive rights. It's about any service you provide will will be prohibited from reimbursement, and therefore...
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So, it's not like Planned Parenthood gets a big grant at the beginning of the year and we're able to see patients under the grant. We have to be able... Our providers have to provide the service and then get reimbursed for the services provided. Mm-hmm. So essentially, people will still be able to come to us, mm-hmm. but they won't be able to use their Medicaid insurance to get care.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Santa Barbara Planned Parenthood, you're living... We're in a pretty upscale community, mm-hmm. But just like all upscale communities, there's always going to be in this country with the income disparity, a large group of people who are underserved by traditional medical providers. So I assume that you do have a pretty large constituency of users in this community, even though you would consider this a pretty wealthy community.
Yes. I mean, over 70% of our patients are accessing their care either from the federal family planning waiver called Family Pack mm-hmm. or through Medi-Cal.
And so, again, the most vulnerable would be hurt.
Yes, absolutely.
And one of the things that you do provide is things that I'm not sure anyone provides, and I keep looking at this list of services, and one of them is body image, which is more of a psychological issue, mm-hmm. and you provide some of these issues that really affect someone, you know, probably just as significantly in many cases as physical ailments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we do a lot of education.
How do you do the education? Do you have classes? Is it individual?
So a lot of education actually happens when you come in for a healthcare visit. I mean, our practitioners or clinicians or providers are able to sort of counsel individually to give sort of really positive messages about self-esteem and taking control over your relationship and feeling empowered to really take care of your body. So there's that piece. And then we have health education programs outside of that. And right now we just launched evidence-based education in Santa Barbara and in Ventura counties. And we're working with community organizations who serve teens between the ages of 14 and 19, who come from high-risk communities. And we have a whole curriculum designed to talk about things like body image, right, mm-hmm. and to have healthy attitudes towards relationships and teach about what consent really means, mm-hmm. To understand what, you know, the importance of learning how to appropriately use condoms if and when the individual becomes sexually active. So there are all of these criteria that we include within our curriculum to meet the needs of the communities that we serve.
Yeah, which is essentially what AHA does. I mean, it deals with teens and deals with all of these issues. Mm-hmm. And I guess there's outreach that you do as well. That is, you're not just talking to people who walk into, you know, that's probably half the battle. They've already walked in. You've got to get out there, I guess. And do you have an initiative to get out there and get people to realize they should be looking for solutions and for education?
Absolutely. I mean, we do a lot of outreach online via social media and the website. And we also participate in the long list of community events that we have along the Central Coast. For instance, we have a booth out at Earth Day this weekend, and we'll be talking about all of our healthcare services, but also our advocacy programs and encouraging people to get involved and to fight with and stand for Planned Parenthood. So we do a lot of outreach. Part of my job is identifying sort of those opportunities to make sure that we are sharing information about Planned Parenthood's health services and ensuring that the community has a trusted provider of reproductive health care to go to when they need us.
If someone uses your services and has financial resources, do you actually ask them to pay more than the Medicaid, or is that not possible?
So our services are on a sliding scale fee. We actually see, you know, women who access care through commercial insurance too. I'm a Planned Parenthood patient. And we see a lot of folks via Medi-Cal and family, you know, Family Pack. And there are folks that pay out of pocket because they really believe in our organization, and they know that they can get expert care mm-hmm. at our health centers. So
yeah, great. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and San Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Founded by a UCSB grad, Deckers Brands has grown into a global driver of lifestyle footwear. From humble beginnings in 1973, Santa Barbara has been a key element of the business, defining the company's culture, providing home base for many employees, and inspiring product innovation each year. For a first-hand experience, stop by the Deckers Brands headquarters in Goleta, 250 Coromar Drive, from 10 to 7, Monday through Saturday, 11 to 5 Sunday, and shop their new brand showcase retail test lab. Guaranteed, you'll see a new side to Deckers portfolio, from footwear to handbags to home furnishings.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafon's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafon and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers. In the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. We're here with Julie Mickleberry, Vice President of Community Engagement at Planned Parenthood of California. And we're just talking about education, and education particularly, what is interesting for this show is teens. How hard is it to reach teens? You know, teens are a tough group to talk to. How do you get to teens?
So our approach is really through community agencies and organizations who are working with teens and, you know, establishing a partnership and talking to the heads of the organizations about the importance of providing their teens these amazing resources that will, you know, help guide them through their entire life. And so we work through already established programs mm-hmm. to really reach out to our teens. But there's also a lot of teens who are online, mm-hmm. you know, and they're visiting Facebook or Instagram or Pandora, and they see us and they reach out to us and ask questions because we're the number one trusted reproductive healthcare provider and source of sex education. And so we have a lot of online tools that are specifically designed to provide education to teens. So there are parenting and teen tools where you can go online and watch videos about puberty or, you know, what to expect in a relationship or a video on consent. So there's a lot of online learning tools that teens are accessing. The other way that we reach out to teen is we meet them where they are. Everybody's texting right now. So we have a text line service. So teens can anonymously text us and ask a question and know that a expert, trusted provider on the other end is going to give them honest information. And Planned Parenthood is committed to making sure that young people are treated with respect and receive honest information so that they can be really prepared to make tough decisions throughout their lifetime.
How many people work at Planned Parenthood in Southern California?
Oh, goodness. Hundreds of people work. I'm not quite sure of how many folks work at Planned Parenthood, but our staff is about 100 plus.
And that includes these educators as well?
Yes.
And are there and there are qualified people responding to these email and text you get back to everybody?
It's a texting service. I mean, we have a contract with a service that includes a number of expertly trained health educators to be able to give medically accurate and age-appropriate answers to the questions that these young people have.
Does Planned Parenthood have a position on the Affordable Care Act?
Planned Parenthood was really involved with helping to influence and develop the essential health care benefits to ensure that women would have access to birth control without copay. So we're huge supporters of the ACA and really want to do everything to make sure that those key elements remain in place.
So there's really, you know, a double-edged risk here. One is the more, you know, draconian change in the Medicaid rules and the elimination of Planned Parenthood from the receipt of those funds. But the second is just more subtle, would be the defunding or the slow defunding of the ACA, which would, I guess, have an impact on Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely. I mean, we're concerned about women losing access to no copay birth control and resources that help support new moms who need, you know, support for nursing and early childhood services. Maternity coverage is on the chopping block potentially. So there are a lot of women's health issues that are in the crosshairs right now that we are fighting back really hard against to ensure that people are able to access the care that they need for their lives, right? And that when members of Congress are thinking about replacing, that they're making sure that women's health is going to be, the needs of women are going to be met.
And you have medical doctors on staff?
Yes.
And is there pressure on that group, you know, the professionals, the nurses, the doctors, not to work for Planned Parenthood?
You know, I think that the folks that we have on staff are passionate and driven and committed to our mission. But there have been a lot of pressure and a big campaign to undermine the work that we do that it's become really hard.
Yeah.
I think for staff. I mean, we have protesters that are at our health centers daily, you know, yelling and screaming and harassing our patients and our staff. And that's, you have to have a really thick skin. But we have an amazing group of expert providers who are committed to this work and are going to be with us no matter what.
I always end up making a suggestion at the fringe of my knowledge, but one of the things I keep thinking about, has anyone thought of spinning off the abortion part of the business and having two different businesses as a way of getting around the defunding issue?
You know, that's come up a lot, and it's actually something that President Trump threw out as a negotiation tactic to Planned Parenthood.
Well, he didn't
and
say
it's
that.
It's a non-starter.
No, he didn't say that. He said if you stop doing abortions, but I'm not saying stop doing. I just say spin it off, but that won't work, huh?
No, you know, safe legal abortion belongs in comprehensive reproductive health care services, and so we're committed to making sure that it is part of the full range of care that we're able to provide.
And you know, how does the organization measure success by people filling out forms or how many people you serve or people walking out with a smile that they now feel good about how they look or they no longer have STDs? I mean, how do you measure success in your business?
So I think there are a number of ways. I mean, when we can see that there's a direct correlation between the services that we provide and the reduction of STD rates, for instance, or the reduction of unintended pregnancy, you know, that it's kind of hard to sort of make those direct correlations. But what we do know is that, you know, California is a leader in reproductive health care access. We have a great family planning waiver. We have access to safe legal abortion. We also have seen a huge drop in unintended pregnancy and abortion rates. So that's success to us. I mean, being able to give women and men and folks who need access to care to be able to be their best selves and to live the lives they want. I mean, that's really success. But what I find most meaningful and inspiring about the work that I do is when I hear from patients about the impact Planned Parenthood has had on them. And so, you know, right now hearing all of the women and men who are coming forward and talking about, you know, their cervical cancer screening that led to early diagnosis or the fact that they were able to come in after they gave birth birth to their first child and prevent an unintended pregnancy, and then went on to, you know, build a career and establish success and live the American dream. I mean, that's really what I see as success.
Do you have a favorite story?
Do I have a favorite story? There's so many stories. There are so many stories. You know, I think that there's a young woman who I met most recently who actually has been a part of, I say part of Planned Parenthood, but has utilized Planned Parenthood services in a multitude of ways. She started early on when she was 15 and went into a program called Teen Success, which was for young parents, how to sort of navigate being a young parent and accessing health care and how to navigate all of that and really provide support with other teen parents. And then she later became a Planned Parenthood patient and got on her birth control and was determined that she was not going to have a second child, you know, at age 15, and was determined that she was going to go to college. And right now she's at Cal Poly and she is pursuing a degree in biotechnology and really just is incredibly outspoken about her story and the impact having basic access to reproductive healthcare services has enabled her to pursue her dreams. And so to me right now, that's, I mean, hearing from her and knowing that we made a difference, Planned Parenthood made a difference, it's huge. It's very rewarding work.
You know, who was the, I'm trying to think of her name, who just lectured in town. She's one of the great feminists. What was her name?
Gloria Steinem.
Gloria Steinem. And she opened up by saying, it's 50 years later, I can't believe we're fighting the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd think these were all would have been put to bed by now. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education. We'll be right back with our final segment.
Here's a question. Do you enjoy experiencing the best of Santa Barbara? Tasty restaurants, scenic hiking, local banking experts. That's right, local banking experts. Montecito Bank and Trust was voted best bank again by the Santa Barbara Independent, Santa Barbara News Press, and Santa Ynez Valley News Readers. Plus, they have over 40 years of experience, 10 branches from Solvang to Westlake, a convenient on-the-go mobile banking app, and a savvy team of local decision makers. Visit Montecito.bank today. Montecito Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Deckers Brands, the parent company of global lifestyle footwear brands UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Anu, invite you to experience their new brand showcase firsthand in Goleta. Discover new product, try on a range of offerings from your favorite Deckers brand, and get a peek into the company's headquarters. The brand showcase is open for business Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and from 11 to 5 on Sunday at 250 Coromar Drive in Goleta. See you out there.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. We're here with Julie Mickleberry, Vice President of Community Engagement at Planned Parenthood of California. What is Title 10?
Title 10 is the nation's family planning program. It was actually started during the Nixon era to make sure that women had access to contraceptives. And it's a program where, you know, women can come in and access care for free and get birth control.
So let me get this straight. President Nixon signed a bill to provide for family planning, and we're now going to eliminate it. Well, you know, I always said that President Nixon was a really good liberal thinker.
Well, it's common sense, right?
Right. One of the ironies is, and we talked about it briefly, but I think it really needs to be made very clear, is that about, you said 10% of the monies that you spend is on abortion, so 90% isn't. Mm-hmm. And so the whole notion that 99% of the rhetoric against Planned Parenthood is about abortion, but only 10% of the activity of Planned Parenthood is abortion. So in a sense, the argument is really avoiding the real issue that you're attacking not so much abortion, you're attacking basic health care for women.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all of these attacks at the congressional level are attacking preventive healthcare services like cancer screenings and access to contraceptives and, you know, basic healthcare services. And that's because of the Hyde Amendment, right, that was passed in 1976, no federal funds can actually be used to pay for abortion services. And the way the system works is that, you know, any reimbursement that we receive, we have to provide a service, right, for reimbursement to be able to get the refund or the money back from the federal government. So we're only reimbursing Medicaid for our cancer screenings, our birth control visits, our basic preventive healthcare services.
And so, don't people believe that? You know, you watch television and you watch these confrontations, and I understand, but I could see men protesting because men don't know any better. But you see relatively young women, you know, screaming against Planned Parenthood. What's that all about? If 90% of the services are about basic health care for women, why are women so vocal about attacking Planned Parenthood?
Well, actually, you know, 75% of Americans support funding for Planned Parenthood, and there have been 20 separate polls that have shown the majority of Americans support access to, you know, Planned Parenthood, that federal funds should be used for these services. And so we have the support of the majority of Americans on our side. It's a small vocal minority that is fighting not only to ban abortion, to eliminate access to safe legal abortion, but that don't want to see women have access to birth control.
Yeah, it's really amazing, you know, and that statistic is also true with the environment. There are sort of ideologues that are fighting what the American people want, and it's really, really quite depressing. But on a more on a happier note, May 15th, you have an event, a march on the Capitol.
Yes, yeah, we're actually organizing a large group of folks from the Central Coast to travel up with us by bus to rally at the state capitol and visit our local legislators, and that's on May 15th.
Well, we all live here in the People's Republic of Santa Barbara. Do we really need to protest or to go up to – I mean, is it necessary?
Absolutely. It is absolutely necessary to show visible support for Planned Parenthood and even to our champions. They need to hear from us regularly. And so if you haven't called and you know, talked to your representative lately, I highly recommend doing it.
Yeah. Well, this has been really fascinating. You know, you've been there 100 years. You look great. And I only hope we can do this again for the 200-year anniversary. And this is, again, a week from Saturday, right?
Yes. Right. The Birds and Bees Bash is a week from Saturday. And can I make a plug real quick? If folks want to get involved, they can just go to istandwithpp.org. It's the easiest way to sign up and help us out.
Terrific. Yeah. And I stand with people, and I will be there.
Great.
So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Julie Mickleberry, Vice President of Community Engagement at Planned Parenthood. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education. We'll be back here next week at the same time.